Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 151 on December 30th, 2016. Changing the world one ass at a time. So here's the deal, everybody. I recorded this on December 18th, and I was just in the beginning stages of editing it, and all hell broke loose in my life. My daughter had a gallbladder attack, followed quickly by another one, followed quickly by emergency surgery, and followed quickly by another procedure to remove a stone in her bile duct. She was released the day after Christmas, and since then I've been consumed with helping her and holding down all the duties in the house as opposed to splitting them like we usually do. And then on top of that, I caught a cold, so you can hear the last parts of it here in my voice just a little bit. Perhaps a little deeper, a little sexier than usual, but also a little bit stuffed up. So enjoy this podcast. I'm sorry it's taken so long to get it to you. And have a fabulous New Year's, a safe one, and an extraordinary 2017. So, happy holiday season, everyone, whatever that means to you. Here in California, it means that I have finally been able to bring out my warmer clothing. It feels like forever since I've worn coats and turtlenecks and things like that. I could swear that I have not seen this warmer clothing in more than a year. And to get specific, you know, don't laugh, everybody, but basically when I talk about colder weather here, that means it's been about 40 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 4 to 10 degrees Celsius for all of you people out there listening who use the vastly more logical metric system. You know, I have two dogs, and one is small and short-haired. She is a cross between a Boston Terrier and a Chihuahua. So when the sun goes down, I have to put a sweater on her. And, you know, I'm not like a doggy sweater kind of person. That's a little foo-foo and a little fussy. But otherwise, she sits out there shivering and looking pitiful because both of my dogs spend most of the time outside, and then they get to come in and sleep in my bedroom at night. Lucky doggies, right? So anyway, that's what's happening here in California now that it is the middle of December. So for the holiday season, everybody out there who's partying and doing stuff like that, if you do party, please be safe. Do the designated driver thing. Don't think that maybe you can handle it because you feel like you can handle it. If you're drinking out there, everybody knows that when you drink, you think you can do amazing things, and you really can't, or you certainly can't do them as well as when you're not drinking. So just plan ahead and either stay home when you party or have one person that's not partying to ferry everyone around. You know, this reminds me of a story. I volunteered to be that person one time, and this was sort of like a ladies' night out where we all went to the bar, and I was the person driving and the sober person, right? It actually can be really entertaining. I mean, there is an element of it which can be really sort of frustrating and not a good time if you're annoyed by drunk people. But that particular night, for whatever reason, I was amused by drunk people. So at the end of the night, I'm ferrying home this group of women, and they're just hysterical because they're all drunk. So, you know, being the designated driver is not necessarily a bad thing, everybody. Okay, let's get on with the show here. First of all, the Patreon thank yous. I have another pledge from Peg Geek for $5 a month. Thank you so much for that generous pledge. It means a lot to me. And let's see here. That brings the total of my Patreon per month pledges to $213 a month. So I am pretty darn close to that first goal I have of $250 a month. So if you feel moved to help me towards that goal during this lovely holiday season, you can do that by going to my website, and on the right-hand side there's a button that says Support My Work. Either that or you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/RubyRider, and you will find all the information there about how that works. Okay, let's get going here. First, I have some news for you. And this news comes from the company called Fuse, which makes the lovely Tango, the double, as well as those awesome singles that hold the vibe. the different ones, the Wild, the Harmony, all these different ones. So this company manufactures their toys in two different finishes, so to speak. One is shiny and one they call velvet. I received news from Tiffany the other day. She keeps up on all of the goings-on with companies and their plans and different things like that. She's an incredible resource for me. So she sent me an email and let me know that the Fuse Tango was only going to be manufactured in the velvet service in the future. And I have to say, I was kind of disappointed. And I decided to write the owner of that company, Mark, and let him know how I felt about it. This is the reason that I was disappointed about it, is because from all of the input that you lovely pegging men out there have provided me, you have let me know that some of you love that velvet finish because when it's going in and out of your ass, it provides for increased sensation, and that is actually something that turns you on. While a whole bunch of other lovely men out there who are pegging have provided me with input that you really prefer the smooth, shiny surface, because that, exactly for the opposite reason, doesn't cause as much sensation going in and out of your ass, and that's what you prefer. So clearly, it's a matter of preference. So here's where it gets really kind of interesting, because before I wrote Mark, I wanted to kind of do a little bit of a survey, and so I asked the question on FetLife, and I went to Reddit, and I posted it in a couple of the forums, and I did get a fairly even response whether people liked the velvet surface versus the shiny surface, but it gets a little more complicated than that, like I mentioned. So let's talk about why it's complicated. Well, first of all, what kind of lube are you using? There's a lot of people out there who still believe the don't touch your silicone toy with silicone lube. Now, I'm not advising that you use pure silicone lube because, in my opinion, it's not the right lube for pegging. Although I did hear from a couple of people on the Reddit forums that that's their favorite thing to use. So again, each to his own. But there is the avoidance factor because of the rule that everyone's heard about not using silicone lube on a silicone toy. The reason that that rule was in place was primarily because the quality of toy has to be good enough for you to match silicone with silicone. And the vast majority of people out there were not educated enough about silicone toys to know whether they had a quality of toy or not. And a lot of them are using the cheaper toys, which are not 100% silicone. So if you have a toy that's not 100% silicone and you use silicone lube on it, yes, it could be a problem. Now, Uberlube, which is probably the maker of the very best silicone lube out there, tells people that they can use silicone lube on silicone toys as long as they're quality, medical grade, platinum cured, 100% silicone toys. And I have proven that over and over again. I don't use Uberlube that much because, like I say, silicone is not my favorite kind of lube, but I do use the Sliquid Silk, which you've all heard lots and lots and lots about, and that is 12% silicone. That's a different factor because that silicone, the 12% in the Sliquid Silk, really isn't enough to cause a problem. In fact, they say that they have not heard of it causing a problem in any toys. I would not take that claim across the board because if you've got a shitty enough toy, you're going to have problems with it no matter what, right? So anyway, the lube type. There, most of the people out there are not using a hybrid lube unless they listen to the podcast and they've heard about Sliquid Silk and they know that it works. So one of the things that happens because of this is if you have a smooth, shiny toy and you use strictly a water-based lube, it kind of can sometimes squeegee it off, if you will. I know that's a funny word to use, but the water-based lube does not stay on the toy as well, okay? So that is one of the factors, I think, in people choosing the velvet. And this was supported in some of the responses I got in the Reddit forums, is that the velvet surface seems to hold the lube better. So, okay, it's a lube question, right? And how the lube interacts with the toy. And the toy surface can either hold the lube better, like some people say, when it's a velvet, or it can get squeegeed off if it's a shiny toy with the water-based lube. So here's the question. Would that lube stick to the toy better, even if it was a shiny toy, if it was the hybrid lube? See my point? Or even if it was a straight silicone lube for the people that enjoy that kind of lube for pegging? This is what I wonder about. And in researching it, this was one of the things I needed to take into consideration. And it all depends on what you want, what your preference is. Like I started off this whole thing with, it really depends on how much sensation you enjoy as it's going in and out of your ass. Sometimes I think that because of that velvet surface, when people have a velvet surface toy and they've never tried a smooth toy, that after a while their ass gets sore and they need to stop. So if you have an experience like that, if your dildo does do that to you and after a while you just can't take it anymore, try a smooth toy and see what you think. They are going to continue to manufacture the singles in the shiny, as far as I know. I haven't heard anything about them stopping that. Anyway, Tiffany and I speculated on why people choose the velvet toys. They do choose more velvet surface toys than the smooth ones, than the shiny ones, okay? And we were speculating on why that might be. Well, if you are in a shop and you touch them, those velvet surface toys feel very smooth. They feel very soft. And perhaps a lot of people don't realize that still, even though it feels soft to the touch with your fingers, that translates out into more sensation as it goes in and out. So that was the best we could come up with. So at this point in time, I wrote Mark. Mark is the owner of Fuse Toys. Mark and I actually talked 3.5 years ago. I looked it up in my emails. I sent emails to the different companies that manufacture the doubles and ranted pretty much about my objection to them calling it a strapless strap-on. And Mark and I had a lovely conversation. I believe, as I recall, he's Welsh, if I'm not mistaken. He has an amazing accent, and we had a great conversation for a fairly long time. And he actually changed the wording on his packaging of the Tango to reflect that, yes, it isn't strap-on, because his experience anecdotally and selling and knowing and experiencing it himself is that, yes, it's not a strapless toy for the vast majority of people out there. So I had not been in direct contact with Mark since then, but I wrote him and told him about this whole situation and why I thought that manufacturing the Tango only in the velvet surface was a mistake. So here's what he wrote me back. I fully agree with you. Neither the high shine nor the velvet surface texture are better or worse than the other, but they do create very different experiences. About 5 years ago, the fashion was to have everything as shiny as possible, and the shiny toys were far more popular than the velvet matte toys. For some reason, the fashion has reversed recently, and we now sell at least 20 velvet surface toys for each single high shine toy. I do not know the reasons for this. Whilst we will continue to offer a range of toys with the high shine, we reluctantly decided to convert the Tango to the velvet surface. However, we are working on several new toy collections right now with a planned staggered release over the next 18 months. So hopefully we will soon be able to offer alternatives that will cater to every preference. And that was really sweet of him to write me back. I don't know, Mark, if what you're planning on releasing has another double. That would totally be cool because you just have the Tango. You don't have any other doubles. And if one of those doubles is going to be made in the high shine, and you can tell why. It's like, okay, I'm interested in all the dildos that Fuse makes, but at the same time, I want the best double out there, which he knows I think is the best, to be available in a shiny surface. So I thought I'd give you all sort of a back scenes view on what's happening there with Fuse Toys, and I certainly welcome your input. You can see how, like I mentioned, the situation has a number of different factors, but I welcome the input from all of you listeners out there to what you prefer, why, what kind of lube you use, whether when you are pegging it's a matter of you do it for a while and then it just gets sore and you can't take it and you do have a velvet toy, or if that just happens anyway with the high shine. Of course, that kind of input is so subjective because, I mean, if you go at it for an hour, you might be sore anyway. So I don't know. Probably if there's people out there, I know, if there's people out there who have both the shiny and the velvet, does the velvet start to make you sore after a while where the same amount of time being pegged with a shiny toy doesn't? That's what I'm really interested in comparing. But of course, I welcome input from everybody on this. Let me know what you think. All right, let's get to your letters. So first thing, I'd like to play a couple of phone calls that I got from a man named Brock. Here's the first one.
Hey, Ruby, my name is Brock. You know, I just listened to your interview with Michelle Part 1 and 2 on my long commute home, and I'm wondering what kind of advice you have for a guy like me who's kind of just sad because, you know, where I'm mostly unhappily married, you know, to a great partner, emotionally for 4 years, and something that I've only realized after I got married, and I'm young, I'm in my early 20s, and she's my first sex partner, is that I have a tremendous desire to be anally penetrated or fuck or be stimulated in that way. And, you know, I go ahead and listen to your stories, and I love them, and I appreciate them, and I appreciate you, and your interviews and your questions. And, you know, it comes to something like this interview where, you know, it's great, and it's a fantasy, and it's even a turn-on, and it kind of just depressed me in some small way that, you know, despite being emotionally happy, you know, that there is this possibility to experience this amazing, you know, feeling that I so badly physically desire and psychologically desire and don't think we'll ever get to have. And anyways, I would love to hear your thoughts, as I'm sure I can't be the only one, or at least I hope not, although I hope that other people who are from what I'm hearing feeling will have fulfilled. Anyways, thanks again. Have a good one.
And here's the second.
Hello, Ruby. This is Brock. I'd called perhaps a couple of weeks ago with some rather sad thoughts about how I felt that my wife would never indulge my desires to be tagged. Well, Sims told her on that drunken evening, she came back to me telling me how she brought up the subject with her therapist, who told her how it was not an uncommon desire by men and didn't reflect upon being straight or not, etc. And she had gone to, you know, after expressing open-mindedness, I showed her podcast 112. And she didn't react very much to it, but she seemed definitely reassured that it, you know, was not something that indicated that I was not straight, which seemed to be a primary concern, which I didn't realize was the concern over, let's say, just being disgusted. Anyways, if you fast forward until our anniversary yesterday, we were getting into bed, and she surprised me. We don't own the strap-on, but we do own a silicone dildo, and as we were lying in bed, she kind of pushed onto my back to kind of bend me over into, I guess, a doggy position, and she fucked me with the dildo, and it was amazing. She then turned me over and left the dildo in my ass and climbed on top of me and ruined me, and that's how we finished. And I really don't think that she would have kind of felt that reassured that she needed without the podcast, and, you know, I wouldn't have told her without your initial support. So I want to thank you for that and wish you the best. Take care and happy holidays.
I was so happy to get that second phone call. So I hope you were able to hear that okay. That first phone call, the young man was mentioning that he had just listened to Michelle in my interview with her, and he was very sad because he, in one drunken night, had told his wife that he had this desire to be penetrated and pegged, and she did not react well. So he was just really sad about it and called up. Now, I didn't get to this phone call for a while, and exactly 1 month later, he called back with that lovely second message, which I am just thrilled to have received. So, Brock, thank you for calling in both times. I am glad your situation resolved itself without me attending to it as yet. And I appreciate your phone calls very much. I wanted to wish you a belated happy anniversary. And I am going to play the music for you, buddy, because even though she wasn't wearing it in a strap-on harness, you got fucked. And that's exactly what you were wanting. So happy dildo fucking to you. And I also wanted to mention total kudos to that therapist. I am so appreciative that you have a therapist that is sex positive and open-minded about this, because that is not necessarily common. So not only did the therapist say, yeah, this is a common thing for men wanting to be penetrated anally, but that therapist also said, yes, it doesn't mean that, you know, your husband is gay. So, yay. Or I like the way that you phrased it. It doesn't mean that he's not straight. That's excellent. So congratulations to you, Brock. We all celebrate with you. And here is that music. Okay, this is a real short email. Hi, Ruby. I am new to pegging. I have been just using a dildo with my woman. She uses it on me. It's an 8-inch. And I just want to know, how do I move up in size and how do I make my woman enjoy it? Okay, let's start at the beginning here. You are using an 8-inch dildo. You don't mention how thick it is. I advise people when they are trying to move up in size to not increase it more than a 1/4 inch at a time in diameter, okay? In diameter. I'm not talking about circumference. I'm talking about diameter. So you don't mention how thick the dildo is that you're using. Now, there are factors about wanting to have a longer dildo. So if you're talking about moving up in size in terms of length, because you did not differentiate between length and width, if you're talking about length, then what you do need to be careful of is that second sphincter. If you're already using an 8-inch long dildo and she is able to get it to the hilt inside you, then chances are you have either pushed against or perhaps gently pushed through that second sphincter. Please just be aware that if you go up in length size, that you need to do so carefully. It's not something that she can strap on and slam it into you, because that's not how that works. It would be good for her to be educated in the physiology of the whole thing. So basically, you've got your rectal canal, and then at the end of that rectal canal is a sphincter called Hirsch's sphincter, which allows the excrement to come out of your colon and down into the rectal canal so that it can go out of your body. You don't want to be slamming through that second sphincter, because it can be very painful and you don't want to cause any damage. Is it possible to get through that second sphincter? Absolutely. You just need to do it carefully. Another hint I have for you is that you can sort of change the angle when you're trying to get it past it. The clue that you're there is that it's going to feel uncomfortable, maybe a little painful, sort of like it's just not going anywhere and it can't go any further. So if you try using a different angle with the dildo, it's possible to get through that sphincter, whereas perhaps straight on, it's not. Because also, more physiology about the situation is that right at that Hirsch's sphincter, your colon kind of makes a right-hand turn, like a 90-degree turn, right? So you're going to want to try and change the angle to see if you can find a position that will allow you to penetrate deeper with that. So that's pretty much the advice I have for you as far as how to do that on your end. Now, how do you make your woman enjoy it? That is just a really interesting statement. First of all, you don't make her enjoy it. You help her enjoy it. And you can do that a variety of different ways. There are things that vibrate. There are double-ended toys, although most of the double-ended toys are not the size that you're looking at. There are things like, the very first thing I think of, since you like the bigger toys, is the WeVibe 4, which is a U-shaped thing that fits inside the woman. And one end is going to be on her clitoris, and the other is going to be inside her vagina on the G-spot. And there's a remote that comes with this thing, and you can make one end vibrate, the other end vibrate, both of them vibrate at once. It can be inside her while she has the strap on. Probably what will help it to stay in, if she's got a tight pair of panties, what you'd want to do is put the WeVibe in, put the pair of panties on, and then put the strap on with that big dildo on it. And since you've got the remote, I would definitely recommend something with a remote, because if you want to turn those vibrations off, which sometimes after an orgasm is really critical, it's like, turn it off now because it's really sensitive, then you've got the remote and you don't have to fiddle and get it off of you and interrupt everything, right? So that would just be my recommendation for her having more orgasmic and sexual type of pleasure while she's fucking you. Which, I mean, your question was pretty open-ended in terms of how do you get her to like it more. Well, there's other possibilities at play here. One of the things that may be happening is that she doesn't feel feminine enough. And so that would entail getting a really nice, beautiful, feminine harness, like the Spare Parts Bella or the Sasha, where she can attach stockings to it and she can feel really, really sexy while she has a cock strapped on her and she's fucking you. That might come into play as well. Comfort might come into play. It's possible that while she's fucking you, it's just too difficult for her because she hasn't developed the muscles, the grace, the endurance, all those things that I talk about all the time necessary to actually fuck you, because fucking is a bit of an athletic event. So you might also want to try having her lay on her back with the strap-on on and you riding it, because that takes basically zero skill and zero endurance and things on her part. So that might be more enjoyable for her. And then eventually you might be able to try other positions. So see, with the little information that you gave me, it's really difficult to tell why she doesn't like it. So really, first off, even though I've given you all these suggestions, I would ask her what you can do to help her like it more. If there's any question that these other things are at play, it would pay to communicate with her and ask her what the deal is. Because otherwise, you're just assuming. If you're just assuming that she's not getting enough sexual pleasure for her to have a good time, well, then you're assuming. And you know the whole thing about assuming, right? I don't need to talk about that. You need to ask her about it, because here's another possibility. The harness that you have is not comfortable for her to wear. It actually is uncomfortable while she fucks you. You know, if you're wearing an uncomfortable harness, well, then I wouldn't really be too thrilled to fuck anybody with an uncomfortable harness on. See, there's lots of different possibilities at play here. Last but not least, if there's any part of her that's thinking that fucking you is going to turn you gay or anything like that, those misconceptions, then that could be at play and none of the other factors could be present. And if that's the case, then listen to podcast number 112. Figure out if it's something that would help her in terms of the way she looks at pegging, and then allow her to listen to it, or you guys listen to it together. So yes, there's many different possibilities. Communicate with her, figure out what the deal is, and then take the appropriate action. I'll put all those links in the Linkorama for you. Best of luck, and let us know how it goes. And by the way, if you get a really big dildo, you may have a little bit of difficulty finding a harness that can hold it. So while I mentioned the Spare Parts harnesses, if you're going to get a really big diameter dildo, those will only hold up to 2 inches. So keep that in mind. Again, you didn't mention how big of a diameter of dildos you were talking about when you wanted to upgrade in size, but the Spare Parts Bella and Sasha will only take up to a 2-inch in diameter dildo. So if you're looking for anything bigger than that, you're going to have to go to a different harness. And that I know of, they don't have any lovely, beautiful harnesses with garters on them for toys that big. I am also going to put a link for a do-it-yourself scarf harness, though, just in case you need it, because when you get into the really big toys, sometimes it's a challenge to find a harness that will fit them. Okay, I think that'll do it. Good luck to you, sir. All right, this is something posted on my forum, and unfortunately, I didn't see it, so it's been there like a month. I'm so sorry. This is how it starts. Okay, so our fourth time coming is up soon, and we're still having difficulty of placing the strap-on in the correct position for my wife. I'm trying to be as flexible as I can for her, but we are not small people. Also, I'm looking to buy her a new strap-on from recommendations. Currently, we have the bend-over beginner's kit, in which she has to step inside the big loop to wrap it around her waist, and then step through each smaller loop with each leg Then we have to position the dildo in the correct position. It just seems so complicated for her to have to figure out how to put it on every time. There are straps we've seen in the novelty store that look easier, but I'm not sure if it's too expensive or if our Tantus dildos will even fit. I'm going to go look at the spare parts when I get the chance, but do all strap-ons have the same diameter for the dildo? And all we have to do is find a strap that's easy and comfy for her to put on? There are a lot of different name brands in our novelty store, and chances are they won't have the recommendations we're looking for and have to go with the next best thing. I saw that they sell underwear strap-ons and even leather strap-ons that look simple for us, but I don't know about the name brands. Okay, let's see here. First of all, a good quality harness will absolutely allow you to fit the dildos that you got from Tantus. That should be no problem at all. If you have a store that you're going to locally that sells the next best thing, I would highly suggest that you not shop at that store and that you shop online. And the reason I would suggest that is because when you're going for the next best thing, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get something that's not as good as what you could be getting. So if you're looking at price, I can totally understand that. But if you stick to spare parts harnesses or Aslan leather harnesses, then you are getting the best that's out there. Those beginner kits really are only marginally satisfactory. That's why when I hear people talk about, I found this beginner kit and we're all excited because we're going to get it, there is an extent to which, and your letter is a perfect example of this, the experience itself can be more difficult and less satisfying because you have not gotten the best equipment. It sounds like one of the things that might work best is what you mentioned about ones that look like underwear. So the harnesses that would be the very easiest to put on and take off are the panty style ones. Spare Parts makes two that I recommend, the Bella and the Sasha. They're beautiful, beautiful harnesses. They're made really, really well because that's what Spare Parts does. They have really quality products. They have garters for stockings that are detachable, so they're very feminine. But the important part is you can just pull them right on. There's no adjusting of straps or anything like that. So this is a really easy harness to use. They're comfortable, they're washable. Highly recommended. They will definitely fit the dildos from your Tantus collection. And from what you describe, it sounds like that would be your best option. The spare parts people are pretty good at sizing. And the critical part about those panty style of harnesses is that they know both the waist and hip measurement. You mentioned that you're not small people. Take those measurements, and if you buy from enticeme.com, give Tiffany a call and let her know, because the right sizing is really important. And those two measurements allow them to give you the right fit. I'll put those links in the Linkorama for you. And this message was from Call Me Uncle Chris. So Uncle Chris, here you go. That's the best advice I have. Let me know how it goes. Next email. The subject line on this was Pro Relationship and New Girlfriend. I wrote you about 2 years ago after I had visited a pro. I was about 65 at that time, and you read my email online. I have continued to visit her, but have become friends with her and her husband. They had a baby some months ago, and I am the Florida grandfather. They are over 20 years younger, but we just have fun together sitting around talking. Sometime during the last 2 years, I found a new girlfriend. She lives outside Florida. I made a set of DVDs that had short clips of different sexual activities. When we watched them, some activities she liked, some she hated, but when she saw a pegging one, she became very interested, asked if I'd do it. I said yes. I bought the equipment, stuff that you recommended. We've done it twice, and she loves it. So, I have a pro that's become a friend, and a girlfriend that loves something she never really thought about. Life is great. And he signed it, Lucky in Florida. Lucky you are, sir. But I have to think that it's not just luck. It's you and you being proactive and talking about what you like. You being proactive in making the set of DVDs that had the clips of what you like. And kudos to you for having a pro as a friend. That, in my understanding, is more of a rare occurrence than a common one. So you must be a pretty extraordinary gentleman, as well as being lucky. Thank you so much for sending in that update. All right, here is another email. And this one has a title of Pegging for Her. Do you have a recommendation for some good toys for the woman to use vaginally while pegging? Kind of like an anal plug, but for vaginal use. That wouldn't get in the way behind the strap-on so she can get vaginal and or clitoral stimulation while pegging. Thanks, you rock. So this is a very easy question to answer. It would be the Fuse Tango, the double-ended dildo. There's a bulb part that goes in her and stimulates her G-spot. The other end of it goes inside you, and there is an awesome spot for a vibe to be put in there, so it will give her clitoral stimulation as well. Easy fix. The best vibe that you can put in there is a Wee Vibe Tango. I know it's kind of weird. Same name, Tango Tango. One is made by Wee Vibe. It's the little mini vibe that goes inside the double-ended dildo, which is the Fuse Tango. I'll put the links for those in the Linkorama, and I think that is exactly what you're looking for. Thanks for writing in. Okay, another email. The subject line of this is how to clean the Aslan harness. Ruby, I loved your review of the Aslan Minx harness. I do have a few questions I'm sure you will be able to answer. First, how does one clean one of these beauties? Because it's leather, are there any additional care / maintaining that needs to be done for long-term use? Lastly, I don't recall you mentioning that it works with a double or not. Also, my wife and I are into face-sitting. Up to this point, we have only done so far ass worship and oral sex. We would like to incorporate a harness and dildo that I could wear on my face that she could ride. I know this isn't usually part of your advice on Pegging Paradise, but I can't seem to find a good quality device that would allow us to use different dildos. Any advice? Okay, let's talk about the first question. How do you clean the Aslan Minx harness? So for these leather harnesses that Aslan sells, I would advise you to wash it using a washcloth, warm water, and soap. You don't want to submerge the whole harness. That's not good for leather to do that, to get it wet. But you can certainly do a surface clean using a washcloth, warm water, and gentle soap. You don't need to do anything extraordinary. Be gentle with them. Basically, what you're doing is a surface cleaning. That's all you're doing. It's not meant to sterilize or anything else. So now let's talk about the other aspect of leather, in that it's porous and it can technically hold bacteria. Normally, this isn't really much of an issue. However, if you're concerned about this, and the situations that I would be concerned about it would be if you share that harness. So if you use that same harness and you have different partners, she has different partners, whatever. If you're using it more than just with you two and you are concerned about different things that can be transferred via the harness, then I found a product recently. A girlfriend of mine who's been in the BDSM community for a very long time and is a bit of a perfectionist, so I listened up when she told me about this product, gave me this information. The product is called Staphene, Staphene, and the company that manufactures it is called Steris, Steris. This is an aerosol spray, and it kills all kinds of things on contact, and if you let it sit for 10 minutes, it even kills more things. This is the really high-quality, high-grade stuff they use in hospitals to disinfect places of HIV and different stuff like this, okay? So every once in a while, because I am a practitioner of BDSM and I use leather items like floggers and belts and crops and whips, every once in a while I spray them with this Staphene to make sure that I kill anything that might be present there, basically. And the reason I do that is because I use those on different people. So if your situation warrants it, you can get the Staphene. I bought that through Amazon. Wasn't cheap, but I did find it. And it kind of made me laugh when I got it because, you know, anything that kills stuff is potentially toxic, right? And when you read the caution on it, it says, if it's inhaled, move the person to fresh air. And if it gets on your skin, you know, take off the clothing and rinse the skin immediately. And if it gets in your eyes, I mean, there's all these warnings, right? Which I would expect to find because it kills things. And that's the whole point, is that it kills things so you don't transfer bacteria or viruses or what have you. But the funny thing is that in the list of what this product does, it says germicidal, tuberculocidal, fungicidal, virucidal, meaning it kills viruses, and it also says air deodorizer. Okay, what? That's the thing that always blows me away about these really toxic things with mountain spring scent, you know, like your air spray. Okay, come on, people. So when I use this, I open the windows, I spray it thoroughly, and then I leave the room immediately. So that is one more option for you. I'm giving you all the options here because I don't really know what your situation is, and I don't know what your preferences are. You may be someone who's really, really concerned about germs. So if that's the situation, there you have it. So you've got the warm soap and water for most of the time, occasionally wiping it down with alcohol. And then you can use the staphene for situations where you just really want to make sure it's as clean as humanly possible, or if you share it. Now, there's no guarantee there's not going to be any germs, even if you use the staphene, but that is your best bet to try and sterilize it as much as possible. Leather is not sterilizable, but staphene will give you the best chance. And then, if you want to treat it absolutely perfectly, you can condition the leather. Every once in a while, you're going to want to do a little bit more of a deep clean. And there's a product that is both a cleanser and a conditioner of the leather called Lexol, L-E-X-O-L. The reason I recommend this is because after a while, if you use this harness a lot, then it's going to have embedded dirt and things that you kind of can't see, especially if it's black. And the thing about leather is that it's porous. So it's a foaming cleanser that will lift out the dirt from the crevices and things. And then the conditioner is something that's used like in saddles and things of that sort. Conditioning leather helps it to last much, much longer. But those Lexol products are available at horse stores here in the United States, PetSmart stores, and places like that. I also recommend the Lexol cleaner and conditioner because it won't cause bleeding of the dyes. It doesn't contain chemical solvents, it's non-flammable, it's odorless, non-toxic, and non-sensitizing to the skin. It doesn't leave like a greasy or tacky feel to the leather surface. That's if you want to treat it absolutely perfectly. Now, I've had an Aslan leather harness that I've used a fair amount over the years, and all I've ever done to it is warm soap and water. Every once in a while, I wipe it down with alcohol, and it's faring perfectly well. So, like I say, if you want to treat it the best you can, get the Lexol products. And if you just want to be more casual about it, like I've been, then you can use warm soap and water and every once in a while wipe it down with a little bit of alcohol. What you don't want to do with your harness, by the way, is to put it in a plastic bag, like a Ziploc plastic bag, because it needs to breathe. It needs to stay dry. So if there's any chance of it not being dry, it can mold and rot and be bad. So don't put it in a Ziploc baggie where it's sealed. It needs to be open to the air. That is all the information I have for you about how to clean that harness. And your next question was whether the Aslan harnesses are compatible with doubles. Absolutely they are. You can use those Aslan harnesses with any dildo, double or single, that has a diameter of 2 inches or less. And the last question, you want a head strap. You want a head strap. Yes, I like this idea. That's totally awesome. So Aslan Leather actually makes a product called the Chin Up Harness, and here is their description. Soft leather garment worn over the head with Velcro fasteners on the crown and neck strap with a base over the mouth that accommodates any dildo with a flared base. This harness opens up a whole new range of pleasure and play options. And there's a picture of it. So Tiffany can absolutely get that for you from Aslan Leather. And for all of you guys out there who love face-sitting as a part of your play, this can be a really cool thing. And talk about giving you an up-close-and-personal view of everything. This is exactly what you get. And if you incorporate also some BDSM into your play, she can tie you up, tie you down, whichever way you want to phrase it, and ride you with this harness on your chin. So check it out. I'll put a link in the Linkorama for you. If you want to spice up your bed with some face sitting, there you go. At Pegging Paradise, sure, we talk about pegging mostly in equipment, mostly for pegging, but not a problem that you have a question about other equipment. And I'm really pleased that Aslan had a product, because I know there's a bunch of them out there, but they're made out of cheap stuff and probably not real comfortable to wear. With Aslan leather, you know it's going to be a really good product. So there you go. It'll be in the Linkorama, the chin-up harness. Actually, what's going to be in the Linkorama is Tiffany's phone number, because that'll be a special order, but we're happy to get that for you. And let us know how it goes. Okay, let's see, what else do we have here? So the subject line of this email is, not sure how to approach things with my wife. Wow, heard that one before, right? So here's what he has to say. I've just discovered your podcast, and it is an incredibly liberating experience. However, I also have a touch of sadness when I hear stories about how couples have successfully introduced pegging into their relationships. My wife and I have been married about 11 years. About 5 or 6 years ago, during foreplay, my wife started touching my anus, and it was a very arousing feeling. Shortly after, one of us suggested introducing the Aneros for a little play. We purchased it, and I used it, and was taken aback by how great it felt. A few months later, I suggested I'd be interested in trying a strap-on. She agreed, and we purchased one. It was slightly awkward at first, but I began to enjoy the sensations enormously. I felt it was bringing us together intimately, because it quite fast became my most intimate desire. Over the next few years, we engaged in pegging fairly sparingly, but I thought it was something we both got enjoyment out of. Then one time, about 18 months ago, she broke down in tears after a session, telling me that she felt uncomfortable using a strap-on. She has refused to contemplate trying again ever since, and gets defensive and sometimes angry if I even broach the topic. I try to be sensitive with it and be open that it's a desire I have, and that she turned me on to new levels when she pegged me in the past. I know she has misconceptions about things, and she suffers from personal esteem issues. She hasn't always reacted well when I have suggested she read blog posts or books on sexuality. I still use toys for self-pleasure, hello Nexus Ace, but I really wish there was some way we could try pegging again. Any advice on if and how I should broach this topic again is greatly appreciated. Keep up the good work. Oh, I feel for you. That must be really difficult. You were there, you had it, and now it's gone. One of the things that jumps out at me in your message is your mention that she has self-esteem issues. It's possible. There's a lot of things that are possible, and it's really difficult to know exactly what's going on unless you talk with her, which means that she has to be willing to talk about it, and both of you are honest with each other and forthcoming, and you ask all the questions about what it is that made her not want to do this anymore. If she just all of a sudden stopped and didn't give you a reason, that makes it really difficult. But you mention self-esteem issues. If she has misconceptions and fears that this is somehow going to turn you gay and you're going to replace her with a cock, then that could be it. That's my best guess with the really limited information that I have. Of course, in an ideal world, you would be able to talk with her and ask her exactly what it was. One of the things I can recommend, even though I know you said she does not react well when you suggest she look at things, is to listen to the podcast number 112, but I would suggest you give it to her as an assignment. I would suggest approaching it something like this. I would suggest approaching it that you feel very sad that what you felt was something mutually enjoyable in your sexual relationship was now something that was off the table, and you were trying very hard to understand it. And you would like her to listen to this podcast with you, because it might help her understand why you like it so much. If all you get when you try things like this is defensiveness and anger, then you really got nowhere to go, unfortunately. But if there is a way for you to be vulnerable and honest and appeal to her compassion, you might even give her an example like, You know that special sex thing that we do with you? You know, whatever it is that she likes the best, whether it's G-spot or some special thing that you do for her that she loves sexually. You might want to use that as an example and say, you know that thing that we do with you sexually? Well, what if one day I said I didn't want to do that anymore and I never gave you a reason? Tell her that you are trying to understand what the situation is and that you're not trying to force her to do anything. You just want to understand where she's coming from, and you would like her to understand where you're coming from. And then, maybe after a couple of glasses of wine, if she's somebody who drinks, if you guys drink together, sit down and just ask her for 50 minutes of her time, and you two can sit and listen to podcast number 112 together. So setting it up where you guys are together while you're listening to it, I think would be great for you. It might be really difficult for her, and it might be difficult for you. I'm not sure. It sounds like you could use better communication in the bedroom, but it also sounds like her self-esteem issues might be overshadowing this whole situation. Because of that, one thing to keep in mind is so much reassurance. Even if she refuses to listen to podcast number 112, here are some of the things that I would tell her for reassurance, okay? And if she gets defensive and angry when you talk with her, then maybe write these things down. Reassure her that there is no way that you want anyone in your bed with you except for her. Reassure her that you have absolutely no desire for a real cock. You like fucking her, and you like her fucking you. But she's the only one that you like fucking you. Reassure her that she is incredibly sexy and beautiful when she puts that strap on, that it does nothing to detract from her beauty and her sexiness. And maybe, last but not least, reassure her that no matter what anybody else says about pegging, you look at it as one more fun thing that you can do in bed. And that's it. Since you did mention that it quickly became your most intimate desire, it's quite possible that she felt that, and she did not want pegging to replace regular sex, because this is absolutely an issue for some couples. Couples start pegging, and the guy gets so much pleasure out of it and is so taken with it that that's all he wants to do. So in that case, the reassurance would be, look, this is never, ever going to replace regular sex. This is just something I really enjoy, just like you enjoy, and then fill in the blank, you know, whatever it is she loves the best in bed. Oh, and I hope one of these suggestions works. I hope that she is amenable to renewing your pegging relationship. It makes me sad that you had that and now you don't. And yes, that is what happens with couples, is that intimacy deepens. You also, let's see, this is kind of maybe cheesy, but you might also want to throw in there that prostate stimulation is really healthy for your prostate. So, I don't know if you want to put that in there or not, but it's a fact. It's true. So I hope something in there helps and that you find your way through this situation. Please do let us know how it goes, and good luck to you, sir. All right, our next email subject line is problems with pegging. Hi, Ruby. I am fairly new to pegging. I haven't had a successful pegging, and I am completely comfortable with it, but there's a problem. I like to be pegged doggy style, and that is what I desire, but my problem is that I'm 6 foot tall and my wife is 5 foot two. Even standing on her tippy toes, she can't get properly aligned behind me to do so. I find this very frustrating, and I almost want to just give up, throw the strap on in the trash and say to hell with it, but I found your site and think you could help. What could I do to fix this problem? Wow, this sounds so similar to a letter I answered recently, and because I answer so many emails, I can't tell you that if I already answered this or not. So if I'm repeating myself on the podcast, just go with me here and know that there are other people out there with this problem, so to repeat myself isn't a problem. So here we go. You are 6 foot and she is 5'2". Well, the best thing that you can do, in my opinion, is to get something to assist you with that position. You like to be fucked doggy style. Well, if you're actually on your knees and you're not supported by anything, that's not going to work because you guys have different body sizes. However, you can kind of be in that position by laying over something. Okay, so Liberator makes three different products you might be interested in. The first two are smaller wedge-type pillows that would make it so that you can lay face down over them. You won't technically be in doggy style in terms of on your hands and knees. You'll be more laying over something, but still she will be behind you fucking you. You just need to find some way to make your ass lower so that where she is where your ass is. These two wedge-shaped pillows are the Heart Wedge and the Arc, A-R-C-H-E. And those two would be perfectly fine for you laying over. If you want to go first class, you can look into the Liberator Wedge Ramp Combo. So the Wedge Ramp Combo is basically two pillows, and they are wedge-shaped, just like the name suggests. One is bigger than the other. The cover on these pillows is such that if you put these two together and place one on the other, it will not slip. It will create a whole new shape. So the variety of different shapes that you have in terms of bodily support, basically it's a sex furniture tool that is just freaking amazing. I often recommend it for people with back issues that are trying to do missionary style. Between those two shapes, not only will you have something to lay over so that she can fuck you from behind, but you will have all kinds of things to play with for other types of positions, whether you're fucking her or she's fucking you. So I'm going to put those links in the Linkorama for you, and that would be my suggestion. Thank you for writing in. This is a difficulty that a lot of people run into because of different body shapes. Interestingly enough, I have the opposite problem because I am very, very long from knee to hip, so it makes it difficult when I'm behind a guy because invariably that part of his body is shorter than mine, and I am too high as opposed to too low. So yes, sex furniture rocks. Try it out. Thanks for writing in. So for the chin-up harness from Aslan, rather than put a link in the Linkorama, you will need to contact Tiffany directly for that, because that's a special request. So for all of you people out there into face-sitting, whether she's wearing it and you're riding it, ooh, we didn't even talk about that, or you're wearing it and she's riding it in either orifice, see, this just presents so many ways to play. Please contact Tiffany directly. I'm going to put her phone number directly on the Linkorama. So anybody with that special request for the chin-up harness from Aslan Leather can talk to Tiffany and she will take care of you. Alrighty, I think we are done for today. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where there's a blog, podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Also, pegging101.com offers informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, don't forget to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too serious, too sappy, or too screwy. I will do my best to find answers for you. And don't forget, like Brock did, you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thanks for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.